You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Kick off the show here.
We're in green!
So cleaned up.
Welcome to the Mafia Cast. Thank you for joining us today. I'm, of course, your host, Papa Ron, with Mike and Casey. What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing today?
What's going on, man? Back at it again. No game to recap. It's kind of weird, but...
I know. No game to recap, but we do have one to talk about for sure. Again, this is Mafia Cast. Thank you for joining us. We are part of the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. We're super excited to be here. Thursday nights. So this is where you'll find us going forward. Speaking of finding us, we were just kind of curious from those of you who are listening currently on the live show, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, let us know how you found the show. Let us know where you're listening from. We want to hear from our people. Richard Rush is here already. He says evening. Thank you for joining us, Richard. As always, of course, the super chats are open. Guys, we've got a big game this weekend. Before we get into that, though, we got three new players added to this roster this week. Let's start with the first one, Fournette. Mike, first of all, what do you think about this one?
I mean, that's huge. It's no surprise with Harris getting banged up. I mean, we were really leaning on Latavius for that power back spot. But now it's, you know, there's not as much pressure on him there. So it'll be interesting, you know, how long it takes Fournette to get up to speed and start making an impact. But I do think he is definitely gonna make an impact.
The other day, Casey did an impromptu show with the Rumblings group, Jay Spencer King, Sarah, and Jeremiah. And I was listening to that, and I noticed you gave the thumbs down on the Fournette edition, Casey. Tell us more about that. Kind of give us a little more in-depth response.
Truly, I'm okay with it. Like I'm happy with it. Like I said, I'm just a homer when it comes to Latavius Murray. You know, watching him play against, you know, the school I was going to, watching, like, you know, get kicked in the teeth by him. It's just one of those things. You know, it's cool to see a hometown kid finally played for like my favorite team, you know. So, but I truly like it. I mean, I'm happy with it. I'm curious, like, why, you know, 31 other teams hadn't signed him yet. You know, I was wondering if he was just waiting for the right moment, the right team to sign him. He's kind of a jack of all trades, running back, to where he can catch the ball while at the same time it can run between the tackles and be a power back. Spence, we'll talk.
Go ahead
about
and address it.
We'll talk about it. So, me and Spence, it's time for me to decide when and how I'm gonna dye my hair pink for our bet about Anthony Richardson. Which, in my defense, I'm still upset that I agreed to it without the injury clause. I brought it up to Spence and he denied it. So, if any of our fans have an issue that there was no injury clause, please at Jay Spencer King on Twitter. Get him
or not,
you know, it's one of those things. But
maybe Spence will kind of maybe a double or nothing for you. If we get, I don't know, let's say 3,000 viewers of our video, of this podcast video, then you can opt out.
I think there's a better chance of me seeing God than Spence giving up this bet.
That's probably true. That is probably true.
Especially because the last time he and I talked about it, it hasn't really, I mean, this will be the first time I talked about it in public, but doing something for, you know, like maybe partnering with Oshai or something, making this a way that we can raise money for some charity or donation. So if anybody has any ideas, any hookups, feel free, you know, at Skeeds15 on Twitter, you know, comment anything, message me. I'm all ears. So we can turn this into a whole thing if we want to.
Hell yeah, that'd be cool. We'll do a full production. Go to the barbershop, get it all done and everything.
Exactly.
On location podcast while Casey's getting his hair did.
Oh god.
That'd be great. So back to the Fournette thing. I'm just gonna say it's quite simple. I do like Murray, but it's a 33-year-old running back versus a 28-year-old running back who was still pretty productive a season ago. He had 73 receptions. I don't know what the total yardage numbers were. I think I want to say he was somewhere around 900 total yards maybe. And I do like it. I think the timing has more to do with some of these guys not wanting to come in until later part of the year because they are older players, one of which we'll talk about here shortly, who not the one we traded for, but Linval Joseph. Now, and Ndamukong Suh was another one that we've talked about with the defensive tackle position. But I think, and for that reason, I do like it because we're halfway through the season now. You bring in a fresh set of legs who is much younger than Murray and still can be productive. I think it's a really good signing. And I did hear there were other teams that were pursuing him too, and he chose Buffalo. How much truth is in that? Who knows? But, you know, sources said. So I take that for what it's worth.
Sources. Basically, at this point, you got to hear it with your own two ears directly from the horse's mouth just to be able to believe anything at this point.
But who don't want to come to Buffalo?
Hey, at this point, a lot of people have made the point to where it's nice to be in this position to where these higher end, you know, veterans are choosing to come to Buffalo in order to try to chase a ring. You know, it's cool to be on this side of it instead of losing our old aging veteran players to, you know, the Patriots or, you know, anybody, all the teams that we grew up with watching winning rings.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this because there's so many people out there, fans that are calling for McDermott's firing or Dorsey's firing or whoever. But specifically, I want to talk about McDermott because he's part of the reason why these guys want to come here because of the culture that he has built in this organization and in that building. He's a big reason why free agents want to come here. He's a big reason why Von Miller came here. Yes, Josh Allen is the other part of that. But if this team were to fire McDermott and basically start all over from scratch with a new coaching staff, I just wonder how many of the players would be like, okay, well, we're out. I mean, what if McDermott, because I guarantee you McDermott would be hired somewhere else. Say, Carolina. Frank Reich is already being rumored to be in the hot seat. So,
which is ridiculous, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
It's your ridiculous. Best receiver is a 40-year-old Adam Thielen, that's insane.
Sometimes things fall apart, you know.
But if that job opened up, I can almost guarantee you they would be calling McDermott.
Oh, and then
how many of the current Bills players would travel over there? Yeah.
Yep.
So
our entire depth.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous that people want to say that. I think it's ridiculous that people are saying that the Bills will never win a Super Bowl as long as McDermott's leading this, which I have to talk about this for just a moment because I thought it was kind of funny. I woke up this morning. My alarm goes off at 4:50 in the morning to get ready for work. And I'm getting ready, throwing my lunch together for the day. And I pop open my phone, there's a notification there. Somebody decided they wanted to go on to our Facebook page for the Mafia Cast and leave us a review. His comment was basically, amateur podcast, these guys, they don't hold any players accountable. You know, Buffalo can do no wrong kind of comment. he did this because he commented in a previous post something about, yeah, Buffalo sucks. They're never winning a Super Bowl. This team is garbage, blah, blah, blah. So my response to that was some Bills fans, not all. So if you don't fit in this category, please don't get mad at me. But there are some who are very negative. They're all about the doom and gloom, and they're just whiny. So, and he took offense to that, apparently. So he had to comment on that. But it's true. Like, this team, I remember just a couple of seasons ago, they were 7-6, 13 games into the season. They were 7-6. And then they went on a roll and almost got to the Super Bowl. Every year, they seem to go through this lull in the middle of the season where they lose a couple of games where they just don't look as good while winning some games. And then they figure it out. So that's all I wanted to say about that is, like, I'm confident this team will figure it out. And we're going to talk about how important this upcoming game is. no, you cannot be mad. It's not allowed. And my apologies. I've been sick all week, so I'm trying not to cough into the mic. But yeah, we'll get into the next player here in just a minute. But since we're kind of on that subject, I want to hear from the two of you, your thoughts on, do you feel like, do you think this team is capable of winning a Super Bowl with the injuries? Do you think that it's, I mean, Vegas says they're still a top five, so why not? But I just want to kind of hear what you guys think about that.
I do think they're capable. I mean, all it takes is that one game at a time mindset and just doing just that, winning one game at a time. I'd say we went full send mode on the trade deadline. you know, they're really going for it here. I mean, and you talked about, you know, higher profile players wanting to come here for that reason. You know, there's talk about, you know, Linville Joseph, you know, maybe, you know, he's chasing a ring, you know, at this point, because, you know, what else are you going to do? But very capable, you know. I think we're up there with the best, you know. We can go toe-to-toe with any of them. You know, and any, you know, they could have a bad day. We could have a good day. Not necessarily saying that's what would need to happen, but it could happen at any time across the leagues. And I'm not saying that as an excuse as to why I think the Bills, you know, are capable of that. I think we really do have a good team here. And then, you know, halfway through the season, still building talent.
Yeah. You know, so.
I mean, it'd be crazy not to think it. And I'm glad you brought up the review, because it's just funny how people are just negative, negative, negive. And I look up this name and I see like negative comments going like back months. Like there's nothing positive.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand that type of a fan.
Yeah.
If that's the world you want to live in, then so be it. But right. I feel like I'd be miserable if that's just the way I thought all the time.
Yeah.
The only thing I had to say about the review is, like, I feel sorry for that guy's wife or his boyfriend. Like, he's miserable. So, and his complaint wasn't even about us. He was complaining to us about the Bills. So, but yeah. I mean, like Spence said, like, once we get healthier, if we can stay healthy, I mean, this team as constructed with the incoming pieces, I think we can win a Super Bowl. But everybody's here is making a point. The parity in the NFL this year is astounding. Yeah. I mean, yes. The Broncos beat the Chiefs, the Patriots, yeah. The Jets beat us. You know, the Jags beat us, but the Jags are a good team, so I'm not going to put that in like an upset.
And the Jets beat Philly.
The Jets beat Philly. Exactly. I mean, anybody literally can beat anybody and is beating anybody this year. No, there's not one singular dominant team. I mean, we thought the Niners were a freight train, and then they're all of a sudden they've lost three games in a row. You know, I understand that, you know, they're dealing with injuries, but everybody is at this point. So I think this is going to be, I mean, we say it every year, who gets hot at the right time. But the way the Bills are playing, you know, it seems like a couple years ago, you know, the way things are falling, you know, the way we lost to the Jags, we went to we played against the Bucks, you know, we barely beat the Bucks this time, we lost to them last time. That was the last time we had a late. No, we had an early buy.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
But like all of a sudden, you know, looks like we're going to get hot at the right time, or should. It looks like we're just on that track to where, you know, we might get to 7-5, but if we end at 12-5, nobody will blink an eye at the first six games of the season, because we'll be just steamrolling heading into the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah, and so on that note, we'll go back now. I just had to get that off my chest, and we'll go back to the new additions on the players. Let's talk about Joseph first, because we'll spend a little bit more time, I think, on Douglas. But with Joseph, you guys, I'm not sure his age, 30s, I'm sure, but anybody know off the top of your head?
I think he's like 12 years in the league.
32, 33, somewhere around there.
Definitely early 30s.
Yeah, so a few years younger than Ndamukong Suh. Between the two of them, did Buffalo get it right?
Personally, I think so. Big part pertaining the age because of that. Mm-hmm. And we saw Linval Joseph basically did the same thing last year, only later in the season, and joined Philly. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it was like he never left. It was like he never missed a game rep. You know, he was very, very good for them. And
he was part of that rotation.
I think that's kind of what he was looking to do here, is come and be a good rotation piece. You know, like I'd say he's probably a step up from Tim Settle right now, just from what we've seen from Settle this year. So I'm excited. I'm pretty excited to see Linval Joseph. I was a fan of him with the Vikings. I was a fan of him with the Chargers. You know, I was begging for Brandon Bean to sign him years ago, that when he was leaving the Vikings. So it's I'm happy to see him finally here.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Mike, what do you think? They get it right with him over Sue?
I can't necessarily say I favor one or the other. But I think it was a key move, regardless. But you know, he's gonna come in and he's gonna do what I think, like we were hoping to see Puna do. But this is, I think, maybe more of a certainty to it. You know, sitting in the spot, taking up blockers, and hopefully, you know, getting Big Ed into the backfield.
He's monstrous. He's an absolute monstrous of a, like, human being. It's weird.
Yeah. Punafor played better last week, so hopefully going forward, that's more of what we'll get out of him.
Yeah. Maybe I'm saying because we haven't seen much from him yet.
I think what he's played, team,
you know, try,
two games, I think.
Working it in. So
first time was, the first game was not impressive at all. I don't think you can have too many defensive tackles. And Richard here, he makes a good point. Strong, big run stopper. And I think that's what we needed. We needed some guy, not necessarily to push the pocket, because Oliver can do that. We can also collapse the edges. But we needed somebody to occupy those double teams, somebody that had some power that can hold his own against that. And we're going to find out. Well, it's unlikely that he'll play this weekend, maybe a little bit. And that's kind of the other thing, too, with these three new players, is how much they'll play on Sunday. Again, if at all. I believe Fournette's he's on the practice squad, so I don't think we'll see him. But with Joseph and then the other guy, Rasul Douglas, this was, to me, one of the two biggest positions of need, defensive tackle being the other. So Brandon Bean obviously agrees with me and apparently was reading my stuff once again. And now, and address these two positions. Okay, of course I'm kidding, because everybody under the sun was saying address these two positions. But hey,
you never know.
I wanted to read. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just saying, you never know who's watching. You know, by the time the next week comes around, and how many people watch the show after. afterwards or just
there's no names on views
recorded. So
yeah. I posted on Twitter earlier today just a question to Bills Mafia, asking, you know, their thoughts on the Rasul Douglas signing. So I kind of wanted to go through some of these because there were some good responses. Let me get back to it because I've already lost them. So Hanover from Twitter said, go check out Packers fan reactions. They hate this trade. That's a good thing for us. It's not just right. about what he provides on the field. He's a huge leader in the locker room. Great guy to have, and as a vet who can push Elam and Benford too. That's the one thing that I keep hearing over and over and over since they traded for him is the leadership, the locker room guy. That's exactly the type of player that Bean and McDermott want in there. And I do think it's good to have somebody like him come in for Benford, but more so for Elam. Because if you follow Douglas's career trajectory, it's very similar to what Elam's going through right now. Douglas didn't catch on early on in the season. It took him a few years. It took him, I think there was two teams before he got to the third team in Green Bay, which when it finally clicked for him. They've said the same thing about Josh Norman. It took him a couple of seasons before it clicked for him. And so I think that'll be good for Kyer. I think somebody like that coming in can help with his confidence. I'm not saying that Elam's confidence is shot or anything. I don't know. I don't know the guy. But it can be easy. He came in here as a number one draft pick, a first-round draft pick, and just has not been able to catch on. So from that perspective,
nagging injury, you know, for weeks on end.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I wanted to bring up that we didn't know about until here recently, that he's had that nagging ankle injury. So
it's kind of funny how that pops up when we need to free up a roster spot, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is some question about that. I agree. Like, it's kind of like I was listening to some other podcasts throughout the week too, and this has been kind of brought up, but like with Daquan Jones and Milano, like why the secrecy? Nobody knows if they're out for the season still. And I just feel like
I don't think anybody knows. But
why wouldn't they have some idea though?
I mean, because players heal different, like everybody heals differently from injuries, you know. And I mean, yes, you can get they have the general idea, you know, like the 6 months or, you know, 4 months, whatever, you know, whatever the injury causes you, a person to be out normally. But these are also professional athletes and, you know, if not the toughest sport in the world. And these guys know exactly what's going into their bodies, how to take care of their bodies, like how everything feels, you know. So, I mean, maybe Milano, what would take us, you know, average guys 6 months to recover from, might take Milano 4 just because of the shape he's in, the training he can get, the physical therapy he can get. So I think they're just not willing to put a cap on anything, you know, to put a floor or a ceiling on anything, just to leave – just to leave that door open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and Marando says it here, a timetable at least. It would be, as a fan, you want to know. You want to hear, like, we've heard that there's the possibility they could be back before the end of the season. But what is that possibility truly like? Like, are you saying there's a 2% chance? Is there, you know what I mean? And that's just as a fan, being selfish, you want to know these things. And it's similar to like what with Kyer Elam. Like, he's been struggling all season long. When did this injury occur? Why is it just now coming out? So to your point, I mean, I don't want to say the team is lying just so they can put him on IR, but
I will.
I don't know.
They're lying. I think they're lying, and they're just like, all right, bro, sit out the rest of the season. We're good.
I'm
going to
throw
the
graphic up. I couldn't resist. I just. I don't like making entertainment out of an injury or something, but it just kind of fit.
Injury.
But yeah, I really do hope
he's not buying it.
I don't know.
But if we need a roster spot just to play some cards, you know. I mean, I guess
I don't know.
Play the game, right? And it's not just.
But if he's on IR, he can't practice.
Yeah.
We don't need him to.
Well, pretty much. Want him to.
Dude, go work out with right now, trainer. Go work out with the one-on-one coach.
We've got Jackson, Benford, and Douglas. After that, your fourth option is Josh Norman, the 53-year-old corner.
Hey,
King Lewis, maybe? Like,
think about it. Well, think about what we were going through last week. Our third option was Elam. You know, so now our third option is Jackson, Rasul, or Benford, because we don't know truly know who's going to be the one and two right away.
Right. And if
speaking Norman, of which, who do you guys think is going to be, and then who do you think should be the two start outside corners once Rasul's, you know, acclimated?
That's easy for me. Rasul and Benford.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all
I agreement. Think we'd all agree on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard somebody saying earlier today that rotating him in with both Jackson and Benford, if they do a 3-person rotation, I'm gonna I mean, not that it matters, but that's gonna be frustrating. Because I can understand if you want to get him on the field a little bit to start to get him acclimated and everything, but rotating all three seems counterproductive to me. I do wonder how much he can play, though.
I think this week, so just to put it out there, I think all three are going to be active this week. All three limited. They'll get like Fournette, maybe 3-4 touches. Linval Joseph will be a situational guy, you know. No offense to, you know, defensive tackles, you know, but I feel like learning the playbook as a corner is probably a little harder than learning as a defensive tackle. And Rasul Douglas.
I've never played either, so I can't confirm or deny.
Exactly. It's just, you know, my guess. But I think Rasul Douglas, it'll be one of those. I think he's been around the league, you know, so he's learned multiple playbooks already. So that's kind of a good thing for us right now. So I think he'll be used as like the emergency option this week, and they won't elevate Norman. So that's just my guess.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think he comes from a zone coverage background. He's a zone corner primarily, and that's what we run here. So, and Bean was talking about during his press conference about his instincts and his ability to diagnose what's happening and react to it, even if it wasn't game planned during the week in practice, because he's been around the league long enough and he studied the game enough that he knows these things, even when it maybe that wasn't practiced during the week because it wasn't caught on film or whatever. Because of those traits, I do think they can put him on the field this weekend if necessary. I don't know. It's Cincinnati, so I would like to see him out there sooner than later, but I just don't know how fair that is to him to expect him to be able to go out.
Yeah,
you got to also remember he's a player. No matter what, he's like, "Yeah, coach, I got this. I know it. Like, I'm good. Yeah. Don't worry about it." You know, we were all like that as a player. You know, no matter what, I'll figure it out. I got it.
And he's been playing all year, so it's not like he's just coming in off the streets and needs to get acclimated to the game speed or anything either. So there's that part of it. So I hope he plays. Roy brought up, don't forget about Ingram. I mean, I'm hopeful that he'll turn into something. That the team obviously really likes him. In the preseason, we saw a little bit from him. And, I mean, there does appear to be some promise there, but he is an undrafted rookie still. So, or second year. So is he a rookie or second year?
That's you got me stumped on that
one. Not sure. Sorry. Yeah, either way, he's young.
What do you guys think this means for Trey White? I asked this on the podcast on trade deadline day.
Yeah.
And nobody really wanted to speculate, just because it's sad to think about. Trey White was the starting piece to this Bills team. He was the first draft pick under in the McDermott era. So it sucks. You know, like it's sad to think about. You know, we've given it. He's been a fantastic player, an all-pro, a pro bowler. He's the best hockey goalie this side of Mississippi. Like, it sucks to think about, but it started to become a reality where, all right, you know, he basically, after this year, he won't have played for really almost three entire seasons straight because of his injury.
Yeah.
So it's
You got to win well without him.
Yeah, if the team's A, if the team's doing well, like Mike just said, and then B, that contract. I mean, that if you know, if he's willing to just chew that contract, accept a little bit of, like, basically, if we could just buy him out, accept a little bit of money up front, you know, knock the dead cap hit down for us, I could see us like being like, all right, man, like, we wish you the best of luck. You know, you've given everything to us. We give everything to you, but I think it's just time to let bygones be bygones at this point.
Yeah. But you wouldn't make that. You don't make that move now, right? You're like,
no, well, not now.
When does that move happen? It would be, probably before June 1st. That's usually right. When a lot of incentive based
deals. In the off season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I've brought this up already this past week. The ACL injury, he even after that, he wasn't himself still. He was getting there, I feel like, but he wasn't there. It was taking a long time. And now you got a Achilles. And I was listening to One Bills Live today, and Chris Brown was talking about that the corner position, and him and Steve Tasker, the corner position is one of the toughest to play. Because you're constantly reacting, it's not. So when you're having to react, your body, it puts more stress on that. There's a lot of change of direction involved. You're backpedaling. There's a lot that goes into a lot of pressure that gets put on that Achilles. And I worry that he's not going to be able to ever come back from this and be the same that he was before. So, yeah, I mean, if he's willing to take a lesser contract, then I think they would do that and he would stay on. But I'm with you, Casey. I do have my concerns about him being on this team beyond.
Wearing a Men's Warehouse outfit makes you confident, like you could do anything. So you dance like no one is watching, even though everyone is watching. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you interview like the job is already yours because it is. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit, you golf as if the rules don't apply to you because you're too well-dressed for rules. Because of the Men's Warehouse outfit. At Men's Warehouse, get measured, get fitted, get hot, get confident in everything from tailored suits to underwear and all the stuff in between. Love the way you look at Men's Warehouse.
Maybe this offseason, maybe they keep him around for 2024 and just to see. I don't know what his cap hit is next year. I got off work and I walked into my house about 3 minutes before we went live, so I didn't have a chance to look at his contract and see how that breaks down. But
I think
I don't know.
It's going to be very hard to get out of it this offseason. I think next season it's much more like we can soak it a little bit better, you know, the dead cap hit, which is, you know, like, if do we keep him on and run he and Rasul next year out at the outside corners, but then you're stunting Christian Benford's, you know, ability to get better and be better by not letting him play, or do we trade that, set that third round pick and fifth round pick this year for the 1 year rental with Rasul Douglas and cut him because none of his money next year is guaranteed. So it's weird. Like, you know, we're kind of putting ourselves in a weird bind right now. And this offseason is going to be very, very interesting in the cornerback room.
Yeah, I agree. I know that Rasul's his contract runs through 2024. And I don't believe it's very large cap hit. So if they decided to extend Douglas, they could stretch that money out over a few years, and maybe they could buy time at least one more season for Trey White to see how he can rebound next year and give him 2024 to see if he can be the same Trey White of old. And then if he can and Douglas kills it this year, then yeah, I think you roll with both of them. Or maybe you turn around and you trade Douglas and Benford gets in CB2, or I mean, who knows? You're right. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do there, though.
AJ made a good point about you know, trade safety. I would rather see Trey move to safety rather than Benford, because Benford is like, he's already like in the middle of learning the corner position, and he's starting to get pretty good at it. So I'd rather him just continue to learn this, get better at this, rather than, you know, basically cut him off halfway and then move him to another position for him to just presume learning again.
And I have heard that, you know,
Hyde decides to not take an extension this year, and that matches he up with Poyer, we could be out with safety. So if Trey White would be willing to move to safety, we know he has great ball skills, so maybe that's something he'd be willing to do. I'd be very interested in that.
Mm-hmm. I think he'd be willing to, and I think it would probably be the ideal situation because, let's be honest, Poyer and Hyde are getting older. I'm not in that camp of they're old and have lost a step like I've seen a lot of fans say, but Roy here says over the cap, according to Over the Cap, 6.2 million dead cap, 10.4 cap savings post June 1 cut for Trey. So the team can save significant money if they cut him only after June 1st only next year. 4.2
net though.
Yeah.
That's so rough. That's tight. That's a tight question. That's the line basically, I feel like.
Well, let's move on because we do have this big game this weekend coming up with Cincinnati. And I saw some social media stuff going around as I was coming home. No, I was not looking at my phone while driving. But some comments about, I guess, what my gosh. Little dirty.
What?
McKenzie.
Oh, okay.
Made some comments about how the Bills ran some basic routes, and if there was a dome, then the game would have been different, and this and that. And so Tyler Boyd and, you know, Jamar Chase, of course, took that and, you know, running with it. But I don't think, honestly, the weather would have changed the outcome of that game one way or the other. I think Buffalo was just, they were out of gas.
Not a single thing would have changed that football game that day.
No,
there was just something in the air. I mean, the entire crowd smelled it before we even walked towards the stadium. I swear to God, me and Mike are not the only ones.
When we woke up in the morning,
there was something that like everybody felt. Everybody was off. Like everybody forgot to do this game day tradition, that game day tradition. Mm-hmm. Mike and I forgot our game day tradition that day. And it was something. And then all of a sudden we got
the energy whomped on.
We had zero energy and the team had zero energy. Only Khalil Shakir took the 5-hour energy before the game.
Right.
It's funny you're talking about your pregame rituals and stuff like that. That weekend, the Saturday before the game, we had to get together here, and one of my favorite drinks, and a lot of people think it's gross and disgusting. A lot of people, this is one of the drinks you either love it or you hate it, but Bloody Marys. I love me a Bloody Mary.
Ugh.
So I was making them the night before for myself, and I was doing 3-shot Bloody Marys.
Wait, time out.
Count me in.
What psycho drinks a Bloody Mary at night?
What?
That's Bloody Marys are only able to drink before noon, and then once it's noon, you switch to real drinks.
I don't matter what time of day it is for me. It with is those. Kind of I love them
early,
but I had like 3 or 4 the night before, and I was making them with 3 shots apiece. Plus, I was drinking beer. I was so sick the next morning, so I didn't drink my Labatt's Blue for the game like I normally do. Like I crack one open as soon as it kickoffs. So yeah, the whole game day ritual things. I was not feeling it. In fact, I was in the bathroom when kickoff happened.
Jeez.
It was the whole day was just
crazy.
You were with me that day, dummy.
Yeah, no, I don't remember.
We didn't order a pizza.
We didn't do a pizza, did we? No.
No.
It was a rough
day we didn't.
For everyone.
Yeah. So
anyway.
Anyways, to the game. Last week I said, I made the comments that to me, this game feels like, from a mental perspective, it's the biggest game of the year and could dictate the rest of the season. I do want to kind of backtrack on that a little bit because it is still early. And regardless of what happens in this game, I hope that there's not a mental lapse, if you will. Like, I hope it doesn't just, oh, here we go again, and just dooms the rest of the season. But it could. But I'm going to leave it to you guys to talk because this one's hard for me. This one is really hard for me. I am I'm about the most nervous for a game I've been since the last time we played them.
Really?
That's funny you say that. Like I got to be honest, I didn't even know who we played until yesterday. And I'm serious. I had no clue.
I mean, we talked about it, but it was Bengals, like,
and I was like, all right, you know, it's the Bengals, because I'm sorry, no team in the NFL is scary this year anymore. We've seen Joe Burrow. We saw how Joe Burrow was playing. Now, granted, they got back. They're now back to 4-4. They're playing much better. But, like, anybody can be anybody on anything. You know, we've seen Josh Allen play like Zach Wilson. We've seen Josh Allen play like Josh Allen. We've seen Joe Burrow play like Zach Wilson and Joe Burrow play like Joe Burrow. You know, like it's one of those things to where like it, who's going to get hot. And to be honest, I know Brandon Bean said, I don't want to suck bad enough to get a Ja'Marr Chase, but if this game just shuts us down for the year and we suck bad enough, just get that better draft pick. Who cares if we fall to, you know, even and we're three games out of the division, you know, and maybe two games out of the wild card, you know, go for that wild card. But if not, and don't fall to this 8-9, 9-8, you know, either go for it or don't. There shouldn't be any in between with this team anymore.
Now we were talking earlier about getting hot at the right time, and even like before the Tampa Bay game, you know, we're still in the lull. So I'm like, you know, I was kind of counting us out against Tampa Bay. Honestly, I was like thinking, oh, well, we might lose this game. No big deal, but I'm still confident, you know, cause we're cold at the right time that we can be hot at the right time. And yeah. I was almost writing that game off as a loss, like big deal playing the Bucks, just like, you know, any other team. But I don't see this derailing the rest of our season. I could see us winning one more game before the bye and being fine and just going on a tear after the bye. So I'm not really convinced this is a do or die game against the Bengals. And I always like the thought of beating teams the second time we see them in the year, you know, like the Jets.
The
Miami game is going to be huge at the end of the year, because to go 2-0 against them, that's a big one for me, but not this one against the Bengals.
Well, to your point, if we only win one game between now and the bye week, that's 1-3 over the next four games, which puts us at what, 5-7?
Six and seven. Yeah.
6-6.
No, so,
6-6.
We got three. Yeah, 6-6.
And I can see us going 10-7.
I'm not mathing well right now. So 6-6.
But I'm still confident. Five games left to go. Even though I can see that happening. Yeah, I know it sounds weird.
Yeah, man, that would. I mean, Bills Mafia would just explode.
Yeah.
Dude, we think there's a bunch of negative people out there right now. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? Like, what do you want from everybody?
Yeah.
We're just a bunch of chump people that have no analysis. Sorry. Who cares?
Well, let's look at the offense versus defense first. Casey, what concerns you the most with our defense versus our offense?
That's not even a question. They have, you know, a top, in my opinion, two wide receiver duo in the league with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, there's maybe, what, six teams that T. Higgins wouldn't walk onto and immediately be the number one, like, wide receiver. You know, they have two of them. Joe Burrow, you know, the king of accuracy. We saw it last year. You know, he doesn't have the world's strongest arm. You know, he can't bomb it 70 yards like Josh, but under 30 yards, he's going to put it, like, he can put it in a pin drop. It's insane, his accuracy. So that's what scares me.
Josh Allen does lead the league right now in that category. Yeah, so just
now,
saying.
But I mean, hey, got to give credit where it's due, man. I mean, Joe Burrow is one accurate quarterback, and he's proved it for a few years now.
Yeah,
not just over the eight games. And So I mean, just putting Benford against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and, you know, whoever's on the other side between Jackson and Rasul Douglas, you know, it's going to be a tough matchup for our corners. Thank God we have Micah and Poyer back there to play center field for us.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fire McDermott Bean. Yeah. All we have to do is, like, come close to losing a game and everyone starts losing their
hold
minds.
Hold on. Somebody clip Mike just saying fire McDermott and Bean.
Yeah. I'll write it down.
Ron, you're muted.
But anyways, I guess I'll go because he's muted.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the wide receivers, like Casey was saying, the deep threat, passing game, our corner situation. So that's definitely one of the main concerns. But the other thing is not necessarily specific to Cincinnati, but something I feel like we've struggled with is the edge. And let's try to not let them get the running game going. So they just don't have that, you know what I mean? And then we can focus on the pass. Seen a lot of, you know, we've seen players, you know, run through our line and, you know, get 50 yard plus gains or get around the outside and, you know, just start heading downfield. So yeah, if we can contain the outside, not let them get around the edge, running the ball. And I think if focusing on the pass, yeah, we're going to get this done.
Yeah, what I was saying while I was muted, the dog was barking, so I had to mute it and then forgot. All right, anyways, I'm with you, Casey, as far as the receiving. I mean, you can even go down to Tyler Boyd and all three of those guys. I'm actually more confident, though, in our secondary to – I'm not going to say stop them because that's not going to happen. But they kind of showed me something last week against Godwin and Evans that they can play, that they – you know, they're not necessarily a liability.
The what only does rebuttal concern against me, though, that is who they had throwing the quarterback and who they had throwing the ball to them.
I mean, there is that. I agree with that. But – still, it's Mike Evans. The point being that Benford and Jackson were able to cover them. Even Baker Mayfield can hit an open, wide open receiver. Okay, and they weren't wide open. They had the coverage. Even the touchdown that Evans got, Benford was right there.
That was offensive PI. Real quick, that was offensive PI.
Yeah, there's that as well. So, what worries me though is Joe Mixon. Because we've kind of seen a little bit this year that the Bills have given up a big run or two here or there. They've done well, really well against the run. And then all of a sudden they break a long run. So then the stats, you know, of course, are bloated. But without Daquan Jones in there, Puna Ford is down one game. He played better the last game. Tim Settle hasn't really shown as much this year yet. The only defensive tackle currently that we have that I'm 100% confident in is Oliver. So that worries me that Mixon's going to have himself a game this week. But
boy, how the tides turned from a year ago to now about everybody's feelings on Oliver. Everybody couldn't wait to get rid of him. And now everybody's like, thank God for Ed Oliver.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up the point, kind of going back to Kyrie Elam, look how long it took Oliver to get to this point in his career. Look how long it's taken Rousseau, Epinesa. Like, there's numerous examples on this roster alone that have shown it can take 2, 3, 4 seasons. So, as far as on the Elam thing, once again, I'm one of his earlier, I'm glad they didn't trade him because I do want to see what he could potentially become on this roster. I don't want him to be a Wyatt Teller and go to another team and then turn into an all-pro. I don't want to see that again. But
I would rather bet on his natural ability and, you know, our coaching staff being able to coach him up enough to eventually, you know, turn into he doesn't have to be a superstar. Even if he turns into, you know, what Dane Jackson is, you know, that's good enough at this point. You know, just be
Dane Jackson, playable. Except with the traits.
Yeah, except with the traits, you know, which automatically, you know, which in retrospect should make him better than what Dane Jackson is. So, it's just one of those things to where you just hope that the coaching staff can bring him along at this point, because now it's on them. Bean gave them the tools. All right, we're shutting him down for the year. We're bringing in Rasul Douglas. This is an off year for you guys. You know, don't worry about it this year. But going in, I feel like going into the next year and the following, they're like, all right, we got to do something with this guy, because they'll have to make a decision on the fifth year on his option. So that's expensive and it's all guaranteed. So there's going to be a lot of questions answered when it comes to Elam pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I went back to Elam. I just wanted to throw that in there really quick. But back to the game this weekend. What about flip it around? Buffalo's offense versus their defense. Is there any advantages, disadvantages? What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, kind of. This is like I feel like we're both defenses are pretty decent. I think we have more of an advantage. We have more turnovers, maybe more first forced turnovers. I guess that would be the only advantage. I'm not going to say the only advantage, but man, our offense against their defense, if we could somehow spread the ball around like we were last game, man, it was just beautiful. And the big thing with their defense, that concerns me is Hendrickson. You know, he's up near the top of the board as far as sacks this year. So protecting that edge, I mean, that's like the focus on both sides of the ball this game. Just protection.
Yeah. My biggest concern is they have their own version of Matt Milano and Logan Wilson. That guy is all over the football. You know, he was, you know, just like Matt Milano was, he was overlooked in the draft. You know, he came out, he worked hard. He earned a spot, and now he's flourishing. You know, he's one of the next linebackers that's going to get a fat contract. Great off-ball linebacker. He can rush the passer. He can drop into coverage. You know, he gets tackles. He's very, very good. But mixing him with Geno Pratt, who is, you know, just a see ball, get ball kind of guy, he was basically – Tremaine Edmonds, you know, he's one of those guys. He doesn't make too many splash plays, but he'll find that football on a run play, and he'll get the running back for you, no problem. So combining those guys, you know, that kind of worries me a little bit. I could see Logan Wilson being used a lot as a spy this game, and with, you know, with Geno Pratt rushing the passer, you know, just eyeing the, like, basically having the linebackers just play man Wilson on Josh and Pratt on the running back, and just letting everybody else just sit back in the zone and not let us beat him over top. So the linebackers are my biggest concern, mainly Logan Wilson.
Yeah. There's another couple things that I want to add in real quick. Just that we have more takeaways than them on the year, but their ratio is better than ours. So, and the other thing is penalties. We have more penalty yards, so that's another, you know, minor thing that, you know, you got to take care of those, you know, small things too. So, you know, when it comes down to a tight game, you know, that's very important.
Well, we gave the Bucs 2 first downs on fourth down last week from penalties. So, you know, right there, you know, they weren't able to capitalize, but my opinion, Cincinnati's more likely than not going to be able to capitalize between the quarterback and the three wide receivers. So, yeah, every possession and every snap is going to count in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. For me, the biggest my biggest concern is the pass rush from Hendrickson in that front. I'm confident their offensive line can I think they can get it done, but to your point with Logan Wilson, Josh Allen said, I think it was yesterday or today during a press conference, he called Logan Wilson the best linebacker in football. So he's that's pretty high praise. Yeah. So I can certainly see your point with that one. But I do think that at the end of the day, if the offensive line can protect Josh and he has time to find the open guy, I think we have guys that will get open. I think the big equalizer, in fact, over the Cincinnati Bengals site on fansided.com, they reached out to me and asked some questions. And they'd asked me, what is different with this team versus the team that, you know, the playoff team? Yeah. Aside from the injuries and everything that transpired last year led up to that game, I think for me the biggest thing is, one, the offensive line I think is better than what we had last year. In fact, I know it's better. And number two, they haven't seen Kincaid yet. And I think Buffalo can use that to their advantage and implement him in this game plan. And I think that's something that they can take advantage of, especially if, like you were saying, if they keep those linebackers in close to kind of spy on Allen and stuff, that should allow Kincaid to come behind them and find those soft spots in the zone. So that, to me, it's not a concern. That, for me, is an advantage, I think, going into this. And also their secondary, once you get past that front seven, the secondaries, it's okay. But I think Dish can have a game in this as well. I think Kincaid and Dish can really exploit that secondary.
Mm-hmm. One guy in their secondary, well, two guys in their secondary who they're young, and but they're playing well, is Daxon Hill, safety out of Michigan. I was begging Bean to draft him when he came out in the draft. And, oh my gosh, now – the corner, his the corner's name is slipping away. He's a young guy. He came out of Nebraska. He's got a two name last name, but he's been out. Like he's good. He's very good. I've been watching him play since he came into the league. He was somebody else that I was kind of hoping we were gonna go after and draft, and he fell to the third round, and we ended up not getting him. But those are two guys who, you know, they're young and up-and-coming players. They're hungry. You know, they're going to be tested against our wide receivers. So it's going to be a really good matchup. Yes, Cameron Taylor Britt. Thank you, Roy.
I was going to say.
Can always count on Roy to come through for us. Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. And like I've already said this before, and I'll continue to say this. I will never pick against this team, the Bills, because they are capable of beating anybody in the league. So, going to our score predictions here, and those of you that are listening on YouTube, Facebook, whatever, comment your score predictions. We'll put those into the weekly video that Mike puts together. But I'm going to go with Casey first, because I feel like, Casey, you haven't gone first in a while. So, we're going to put you on the spot on this one.
34-21 Cincinnati.
Wow, that's very enthusiastic.
34-20. I'm disowning. You're in the corner. Turn around. Just spin your chair around. And
nobody puts baby in a corner.
Wow, you said 34-21. Right? Not even close.
You're picking Cincinnati in this.
I just think that too much. The Bengals are going to wind up being too much. They're hitting a stride. They're hitting a stride right now, and you know it's starting to come together. And we're still kind of figuring out who we are, what we are, what works. You know, we finally saw a different game plan for the first time this past week. You know, when we went to the hurry up offense to start the game, I'm just worried with the inconsistencies and just the momentum right now. And I think the momentum is what's going to carry Cincinnati going into this game.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm not doing that crap this week. I don't know if I will at all this season. I commented last week and I left the team off the prediction. Score was way off anyway. So with that being said, this week, back to score predictions, and I'm doing 24-17 Buffalo Bills.
Oh, that's low. That's low scoring.
It's low.
You got some faith in that defense.
I do. Yeah.
I want to see you lay a parlay with the under in it this week, and I want I want photo evidence.
We'll see.
Yeah, I said at the top of the show that I'm nervous about this game. Bengals have looked great as of late. They just destroyed the 49ers, who a lot of people were saying was the best team in the NFL, and now they've lost three straight games since people have been saying that. But they handled them. I think it was, 31-17 or something like that. But for me, I'm picking the Bills to win this. I do think that there will come a point this season where Buffalo just figures it out and they just start to steamroll teams like they almost do every single year, it seems like. I'm not saying they're steamrolling the Bengals. I'm not doing that. But I am saying Buffalo 30-27. I think it's a Tyler Bass comes through in the end, late field goal, and Buffalo gets out of there with the W. And Hayes says here 30-28, so he's really close to what I'm saying, 30-27. But that's your score predictions. Hopefully Casey is wrong, but I don't blame you.
I'm just going, if we're going to be like honest about this team and who we are and what we are, that's just my gut in my head telling me, you know, I feel like Cincinnati is going to walk out with the W this one. And my heart tells me, I hope I'm wrong.
Jeez.
I'm just a little surprised that it's so like 30-30. You said 31-20?
34-21.
34-21. That's a double digit win.
Yeah. I'm prepared to get my heart broke.
What would you pick on Tally's site though?
Huh? I picked the Bengals. I believe I picked the Bengals. I think so. I'd have to go back and look.
We'll do pink hair twice.
Yeah. No.
All right. Yeah. Next time it'll be the beard, not just no. there.
All right. We're going to. One more time. Let's do something with this pink hair. If I'm going to do this, I'd like to do something, you know, if we can get people to get behind this and we can figure out a way something to donate to. I'd love to do this for a good cause. And I know Spence would be appreciative of it as well. So hit me up, hit us all up. Let us know if you have any ideas, if you have any charities that you'd like to give to, you know, send us info. We can talk about it. We'll figure something out with this. We'll make it fun.
It will make his hair as bright pink as we can.
Great. I'm going to go see the Barbie movie after.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Before we get out of here, if you're on Facebook, please hit the like, subscribe to our Facebook page, the Mafia Cast. Easy to find. Go check it out. You can see all of our content. You can comment on whatever. We just want to talk about the Bills. If you're listening on YouTube, like and subscribe there as well. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see everybody next Thursday night. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.